Good morning, everyone. Today is the 8th of May, and I was stuck in April there for a little bit, but anyway, Sunday morning, and you've joined the Pineville Grace Fellowship. We're a little fellowship here in Pineville, Missouri, right on the borders between Arkansas and the state of Missouri, the Show Me State. And Mark and Rosette and I have each picked out a couple of the old school hymns we're going to endeavor to sing for you this morning. By the way, you heard my devotional. I said something about Lazarus. It was going on 1 o'clock in the morning, so I misspoke. I should have said the man with the the man with leprosy, okay? Lazarus did not have leprosy, okay? I guess Lazarus and leprosy just got cluttered up in my brain there. But anyway, it happens. It happens. The first song we're going to sing is an old gospel favorite, and it's entitled Revive Us Again. It's on page 20 of your old school hymnal, if you have one. I know some of y'all out there have these old school hymnals, so you can follow along with us. We've used this old school hymnal for the last 20 some years, and it's been a mainstay. I'm not saying I agree with everything in it, because we've had to change some words in it that trickled into Arminianism, but we kind of revised some of that. But anyway, this first song is called Revive Us Again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. I like that third verse. It says, all glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Okay, the next one we're going to sing is number 263. Number 263. This was... is that right? 263, I'm a stranger here below. Okay. It's entitled, I Am a Stranger Here Below. I am a stranger here below, and what I am, 'tis hard to know. I am so vile, so full of sin, I fear that I'm not born again. When I experience call to mind, my understanding is so blind, all feeling sense seems to be gone, which makes me fear I find myself out of the way. My thoughts are often gone astray, like one alone I seem to be. Oh, is there anyone like me? If seldom I can ever see myself as I would wish to be. What I desire I can't attain, from what I hate I can't refrain. My nature is so prone to sin, which makes my duty so unclean, that when I count up all the cost, without free grace I know I'm lost. Okay, the next one is 411. 411. Thank God for grace. Okay, this one is entitled Wonderful Grace. I was wandering in sin, far away from home. Loads of darkness swept down on my soul. Then Jesus, my Savior, in mercy did come, bringing grace that can never be told. Grace, grace, wonderful grace that comes from the Father above. May Jesus, our Savior, forever I pray, hold me fast in the arms of His love. The love of my Savior grows sweeter each day as the sorrow of life rests me sore. For He paid all my debts on Calvary's tree, and my sins just forever He bore. It is grace which has brought sweetest peace to my soul, and courage to serve Him in love. If the winter be dreary and cold here below, let me onward go looking above. Now the clouds of war have gathered around, oh, the horrors bear down on my soul. But His grace will still keep me secure on the way, and will land me in heaven His goal. Grace, grace, yes, wonderful grace that comes from the Father above. May Jesus our Savior forever, I pray, hold me fast in the arms of His love. Okay, the next one is 409. One day. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified, freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. One day they left Him alone in the garden. One day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er His tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Okay, the next one is 335. 335. We will understand it better by and by. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how he's overcome. We will understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord and according to his word. We will understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Irritation's hidden snares often take us unawares. Our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how he overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Okay, the last one is 161. How firm a foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. E'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign eternal changeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus shall lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Well, I just wanted to let everyone know that the Bible study that I usually do with Tom Adams is postponed until next week. Tom has to be preoccupied with some things that he has to do this weekend, so he's unable to do it. Also, I wanted to let everyone know that we do have a number of broadcasts that we do on a weekly basis. We try to do a daily devotional every morning. We try to have it posted on our social platforms by 8 o'clock every morning. And I've sent out an announcement of all the social platforms that we are on. So you can kind of choose which ones you want to go to. We also have on Tuesday, Mark and I, my son, are working through, we're doing a Bible study and in the New Testament. And we finished up the book of Ephesians and Philippians, and we're just forging on through the New Testament now. And right now we're in Philippians, finishing that up. Also, on Sunday morning, we have a fellowship call at 11 o'clock with a group of people, just sharing and building one another up in the faith. If you, any of you hear this and you're interested in a link to that fellowship, it's not a Bible study. It's just a time of a fellowship. If any of you are interested in joining that fellowship, send me an email. My email is listed on sermon audio, or the easiest way to request the link to that fellowship is to go to LarryWPhillips.com and go to the contact section and just say you would like a link to the Sunday morning fellowship. Now, we also have a Wednesday night fellowship. That Wednesday night fellowship is at 7:30 for those who work. Allows people to get home and have dinner and whatever. The fellowship usually lasts for about an hour. And the same link, we use both the Skype link for both broadcasts, so just so you know. And so on Friday, we have a Bible study with Adeola Sogbine from Canada, North Bay, Canada. And we're working through the Psalms. This next week will be in Psalm 12. And that's been a real blessing. And then Saturday, we have a Bible study that we've been doing with Robert Barrick. And we've been working through the book of Matthew. And we're in now the 8th chapter of Matthew, and we're ready for verse 21 this next Saturday evening. And those are all posted on our social platforms. It's been a real blessing to work through that with Robert Barrick. He has a real thirst for the Word of God. And then Sunday, like I already stated, we have the fellowship call in the morning, and then we try to, during the week, if it's not Sunday morning, sometime we try to have a little fellowship meeting with Pineville Grace Fellowship here with Larry, Rosette, and Mark. And we are a local assembly. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. But we don't limit our fellowship to just Pineville, Missouri, okay? We're not just a local fellowship. Last month, we were in 52 different countries and around the
you know, all the contiguous United States. And so we don't, it's not just three people here in this little fellowship here, but it's, you know, there's quite a group of people that do tune in. We also, like I said, a lot of people think that the church has to be just local, and it doesn't have to be local, just local. And technology can be used to glorify God, not just to be a part of the New World Order, okay? We're not a part of the New World Order, but we are using technology to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, okay? Well, today I wanted to just look at something that I'm sure that you all have looked at before. And I just wanted to read a passage of scripture and make some comments on it this morning. You know, I've often said if I could pinpoint one of the greatest errors, if you want to call it that, an error or, you know, I'm not the judge of other people. I don't know if they are setting forth purposely to deceive people. I know there are people out there that are deceivers. If there's one, the greatest error, I think, perpetrated on Christendom throughout the world is this idea that we have to do something for our salvation. We have to do something for our salvation. In other words, it's a work of man, not a work of God. And that's been a theme of mine over the last 20 years because I was raised, okay, in a church that taught a work salvation. It didn't really teach the unconditional election of God. It denied God's election. It denied His predestination. It denied His finished work. I don't know how many times I've heard people from the pulpit proclaim that, you know, you could lose your salvation. They did not believe in an eternal salvation. They believed in a temporary salvation. It was up to you to retain whatever salvation that you chose, I guess. If you can choose your salvation, you can lose your salvation. Have you ever heard that? If you can choose it, you can lose it. Well, I didn't choose it, so I'm not going to lose it. God chose me in Him from the foundation of the world. And so that's been the central focus of our ministry, is Christ and Him crucified. And that Jesus paid it all to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side, which be of sin, a double cure, save from wrath and make me sure. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. You know, and so when we sing Amazing Grace, that's what we mean, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Okay, and so when we think about grace, the definition of grace is the unmerited favor of God. as people who were dead in our trespasses and sin, what could we do to merit the love of God? Absolutely nothing. He didn't choose us. He didn't die for us because he saw any good in the creature, for we were dead in our trespasses and sin. He loved us because he chose to love us. Okay? Now, I want to look at, I've looked at this many, many times. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And a lot of people say, well, Larry's kind of redundant, you know. Well, as a former school teacher, I can tell you that repetition is the mother of all learning. Okay, so we need to repeat in our minds the truths that I'm outlining for you this morning in the first chapter of Colossians. First chapter of Colossians. Now, I want to start with verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 11 there. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to our free will. Is that what it says? Strengthened with all might according to our free will. No, it doesn't. It says strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. According to his glorious power. And all patience, long suffering with joyfulness. How many people have forgotten where their salvation came from? How many people have forgotten where their faith came from? How many times have we stated in Hebrews 12:2, it says that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he sat down. He sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, okay, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How did he make us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? How did he make us to do that? Well, the next verse tells us how he made us to do that. He hath delivered us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. Remember what happened to Enoch? Enoch was translated. God took him. Enoch didn't translate himself. Enoch didn't execute his free will one day and say, I think I'm tired of living down here. I think I'm going to translate myself right up to the kingdom of God. I think I'm going to zoom me up, Scotty. Enoch walked with God and he was taken. Transported in a twinkling of an eye. He didn't even have to wait to die. Well, that's what God did to us, each one of us. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, delivering us from the power of darkness. Did you deliver yourself? No. A lot of people are into self-deliverance. And now the next verse says, in whom? Who's it speaking of? In whom? It's speaking in Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Our redemption, we're not into self-redemption. We didn't redeem ourselves. The only thing that could redeem us is what? His blood. The only way we could obtain forgiveness of sins is through His precious blood. The next verse says, who is the image of the invisible, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now it's going to talk about some of the attributes and some of the power and some of the things that Christ has done. And I remember one time, I've shared this before on sermon audio, I was grappling with this aspect of evil, you know. And I mentioned to a gentleman, I said, you know, I just don't understand how God can, you know, how evil came into the world, you know, and all of this. And this gentleman said, well, haven't you ever read Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians? I went back home and read First Colossians again. Wow. Answered my question about evil, the origin of evil. And here's what it says about it in verse 16. For by him were all things created. Notice there, it doesn't say, or by him were some things created. It doesn't say, by him were some things created. It says, by him were all things created. All things means all things. I heard an old Primitive Baptist minister one time say, well, he predestinated the who, but not the what. Can you imagine? He predestinated the who, but not the what. No. Then in Ephesians it says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. All things, not some things, and not just the who, but also the what. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. Not just in heaven, and that are in earth. Visible and invisible. You say, well, why did he say invisible? Well, there's certain things that we cannot see with our naked eye. Now, if you take a micro telescope, you'll see some things that you can't see with your naked eye. You can see molecules. You can see cells. You know. And, but God created them all. You know, like the old saying goes, there are no maverick molecules. If there's any maverick molecules that are out on their own, not under the authority of God, then God is not God, because His Word says that He created all things. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, that means that all government, all kings, all prime ministers, all queens, all rulers, and it says dominions or principalities. What are principalities? Well, if you look up the word principalities, it has to do with evil dominions. That includes Satan's kingdom. And like I've often said, Lucifer was created a non-elect angel. He was not created as an elect angel. He was created as a non-elect angel. And a third of the angels were created as non-elect angels because they all fell when Lucifer fell. They were all a part and parcel of his kingdom, which will be brought down. And he was cast out of heaven, that Lucifer, that cast down to the ground loves me. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Christ and for Christ. All things were created by Him and for Him. If you look out in the world, you see creation, you see the beauties of creation, you see the beauties of His animal kingdom. What tremendous power is demonstrated in God's creation, in observing His creation, observing creatures and animals and all kinds of birds and four-footed creatures, two-footed creatures, creatures in the sea, creatures above the land, creatures below the land. You know, what power is demonstrated, and why were all of these things created? It says they were created for Him, for Him. It also states that He is before all things. He is before all things. In fact, do you know that there's absolutely nothing that could continue to live and could continue to keep going if it wasn't for Christ? Because it says He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Christ keeps this whole thing going. Keeps it going. Well, it also says that He is the head of the body, the church. Okay. And it says that He is the beginning, the firstborn. And notice what it says. He's the beginning, the firstborn what? What's it say there? It says He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. You know, Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. And that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now, I have a question for those who want to hold on to this lie of free will. I wrote a book called The Lies of Free Will. A lot of it's scripture, but a lot of it's pointing out the erroneous doctrines of people that in our society that have come on that are wolves in sheep's clothing that are touting free will. People like James Dobson, Rick Warren and his purpose-driven lies. People like John Wesley who said we only had a bent towards sin. People like Charles Finney who denied substitutionary atonement. And even people from the early days like Pelagius, who denied unconditional election. And then you have people later on that came on the scene that tried to prop up these lies, you know, like Charles Finney and modern day Robert Schuller, who's now dead. Remember the Crystal Cathedral? Now the Catholics own the Crystal Cathedral. Did you know that? And you have people like Joel Osteen, you know, who wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. Your Best Life Now, right? And you had all these people come on the scene that wrote these self-improvement books. Notice the title, Self-Improvement. Self-improvement. Books like Psycho-Cybernetics. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then you had a fellow that said that he found Christ in a Buddhist temple. You know. And, you know, you have people like Donald Trump says that this gentleman is his mentor. You know. What was his name? He had a church in New York City, and in the basement of the church, he had Sigmund Freud counselors, Norman Vincent Peale, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, you know. And then you had people on television like Bishop Sheen propagating these lies of free will. Do you know that in the Council of Trent of the Roman Catholic Churches, it's got an anathema phrase that says if anyone denies that man has a free will, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. And that's just in absolute contradistinction to what Paul says. Paul says if anyone comes preaching any other gospel, you let them be accursed. What's the other gospel? What's the gospels to start with? The gospel is the free grace of God. The free grace of Christ. That's why I've spent so much time coming against this. Well, this is what I wanted to talk on this morning. You know, we need to take a stand against these lies. You know, we need to take a very strong position. We need to hold the position that if you stand up for this doctrine of free will, that you are preaching another gospel. How many times have I heard people say, you know, I had to allow God to do this. I let Jesus do this. I. Well, we know the laundry list of people who have perpetrated the lie, and we also know those who have come against those who perpetrated the lie. You know, Augustine came against Pelagius. George Whitefield came against John Wesley. Augustus Toplady came against John Wesley, even down to his dying day. You know, think of all the lies that C.I. Schofield perpetrated in his Schofield Reference Bible. A whole organization came up trying to bring those who are taking a stand against Roman Catholicism. It was called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. People like Chuck Colson and J.I. Packer. I used to respect J.I. Packer. He wrote a book, Knowing God. I liked that book. And then J.I. Packer goes all over Europe promoting this Evangelicals and Catholics Together. Billy Graham was the highlight of the free will doctrine. He even had a broadcast called the Hour of Decision broadcast. Hour of Decision? You know, if Christ chose us in Him from the foundation of the world, where does your decision come into your salvation? It's decisionism? Is that what it is? Well, the biblical gospel must be proclaimed. The gospel of the golden chain of salvation. Romans 8:28-39. Check it out. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth, not man. So we oppose self-justification. We oppose the doctrine of free will. We oppose humanistic integration into the church. We oppose seminaries. We call them cemeteries where you get your death certificates. We oppose man-centered philosophies trying to integrate into the church, coming in as wolves. Well, let's conclude with a final hymn today. Let's always remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, and that we had absolutely no hand in it. Let us rest in the completed work of Christ. Let's sing number 69, sweetly resting. Are you resting in the completed work of Christ? Are you depending upon your own free will, which does not exist? Are you relying on allowing God doing something in your life? If I had to rely on my free will, which doesn't exist, I would be in a hopeless condition. Sweetly resting, number 69. In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long for rest. Then I found this heavenly shelter, opened in my Savior's breast. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in His smiles of love I live. In the rifted rock I'll hide me, till the storm of life is past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. And we know that we can't hide ourselves in Him if His grace has not brought us to this point of rest. God bless.